How many of you really desire to be a more effective servant of the living God? I do. I know you do too. Most of you, I hope all of you, that you could say, you bet, I want to keep growing and becoming a better servant of God. I mean, what is there in life more important than that? Because once this life is over, all that's going to matter when we stand before Jesus Christ is how have we developed and grown as a servant of God. So that's going to be the theme today. The fair job, fair situation later, that'll be the theme of becoming the servants of God. And this includes our children. Now, becoming a servant applies to everybody. And what I would like to do in today's message is once again look at the example of our Savior Jesus Christ. He modeled the attitude and he modeled the conduct of a servant for us. He showed us how we should be. And then we're going to take a look at how we can develop and use our God-given talents, abilities, and gifts to glorify God and to serve and help other people. We're going to look at that again, because this theme of all of us working with men, women, children, husbands, wives, everybody, working at becoming better, true servants of God is so very important. Our lives can have a greater impact in the lives of other people if we're drawing closer to God in this way. And if we're trying to serve one another, and if we're wanting to serve our community, and if we're wanting to serve our nation and the world, then God is going to use us. You know that. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, and let's begin by looking at this awesome example that God himself set for us. Philippians chapter 2, some beautiful, beautiful verses about our Savior Jesus Christ, about the attitude that he set for us and the example that he set for us. You know, what I would like you to do today is, you know, you don't want to be thinking, well, I hope so-and-so is listening to this, and, you know, we do. I hope everybody is. And I have to prepare these messages, and when I do, I pray about it, and I say, God, you know, above all things, I've got to be doing it too. Help me as I look into your word and prepare this. Help me to do it. So apply it to yourself. You might say, yeah, I hope my wife or husband or my boyfriend or girlfriend or my neighbor or this person over here. But please also ask yourself, am I doing this, living this, and practicing these words of God in my life the way I should? Begin in verse 5 of Philippians 2, where God's servant, the Apostle Paul, said, let this mind, and as you know, certain translations like the NIV say, let this attitude be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. That we are to strive to have the attitude and the mind of Jesus Christ, who, being in the form of God, you know, before he was human, he was God. He did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. And sometimes other translations can help make this a little clearer from the original language, from the Greek. For instance, the NIV translation says, who being in very nature God, there he was, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. In other words, he was willing to give up being with God with all the power, glory, and honor that he had. And as it goes on, verse 7, but made himself of no reputation. Now think about that. No reputation. He didn't need a big title. He didn't come as a conquering king like some thought he would, the Messiah. It goes on, taking the form of a servant. Just imagine that God decided that the way that he would come and reveal himself to mankind was making himself of no reputation and taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. is very humble in attitude and spirit. So there's our role model and example in Jesus Christ. And let me acknowledge that many of you have been good servants of God for many years, and some of you many decades in the Church of God. And so I certainly want to acknowledge that and thank you, and I know God recognizes that as well. But let me ask this. No matter how long you've been in the church, or no matter how old you are, or how young you are, do you ever stop growing? Do we ever say, well, I'm too young to learn or grow? I'm too new to be a servant of God in the church? Or ever too old? Now, I know we do slow down as we get older, that is for sure. But even as we get older, and many of you do this, even though you may not be able to get out physically because it's harder, but many of you get on the telephone and you write cards and letters and you are encouraging people. I know many of you are doing that. You use whatever means is available to serve and to do what Jesus did. So he set the example, God Almighty. Now, how about you? I must admit that I don't think I am there yet where Jesus Christ was. Do you? And on a scale, where would you put yourself? If you remember down here is zero like Christ. Let's say zero like Christ, and up here is the big 10, just like Christ. It's kind of good to think, where would I be? Halfway in the middle, or this, a little more that end, a little more that way? Where do you think you are? And you have to look at the fruits of your life, and you have to look at how you do serve to know. As we go through the scriptures today, let's see what Jesus Christ said and did and what he taught about becoming a better servant of God. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Beginning in verse 14. John 13, 14. We read this at Passover time and maybe a few other times during the year, but sometimes not too often. John 13, beginning in verse 14. For Jesus said, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Now, we literally physically do that to one another at the Passover, but what does it mean symbolically to wash one another's feet? Do we continue that during the year? Do we humble ourselves? Do we get down on our knees sometimes before other brethren and humble ourselves to be peacemakers or to resolve issues and problems? Do we do that? Are we like this, like Jesus said? Remember, he got down and he literally washed their feet to humble himself and to serve them and to set an example. He says, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. A lot of you have been in the church for many, many years, haven't you? Where would we be today if the ministry and all of us in the church have modeled this behavior and followed Christ's example of being true, humble servants, not argumentative, not causing problems, not wanting to at least. We all are human and make mistakes. But our attitude and our spirit is one of love for other people, especially the brethren, as the Bible says. We're to love all mankind and do good to all, but especially for those who've been called by God to be a part of his church and his work, to love and serve and help one another, as we heard in the sermonette, help one another make it. Don't we want to help one another be in God's kingdom together and not hinder one another? Notice what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 20. These powerful verses here that he gave to his disciples of how they were to lead and teach and serve. Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 25. And Jesus called them to himself, his disciples, and he said, because they have been striving for position, They had been wanting recognition. They wanted to be the ones to sit at his right hand and exalting themselves. And he called them and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, that is, the people. And those who are great exercise authority over them. The Greek implies oppressor. And he said in verse 26, yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you. And so it is not wrong in the right way to want to be great. Don't you all want to be in God's kingdom? And I would say, yeah, I want to be in God's kingdom. I want to be with God, and I want to be like God. We are going to become great. To achieve the kingdom of God and to be given a body that will never die, eternal life, spiritual body, and no human nature, and that perfect attitude and mind, we're all striving to become great, actually. That's our goal, to become great like God is great. And he said, whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. You probably know, or at least have heard, that the Greek word here, diakonos, just means that, to serve others. And many places in the Bible, that's the word diakonos, it is translated deacon or deaconess or minister. Somebody who serves is what it means. So those who are to become great, those who are going to be in God's kingdom, must become servants. And so I ask you here, and I was talking with, I think it was Earl Renz, and I were chatting, and he was mentioning, you know, a person can say they're a Christian and call themselves a Christian, but if they're not serving, they're not a Christian. And that's a true statement. People who are true Christians, who have the Spirit of God, are going to be in some way or another, and somehow in someone's life, serving and helping other people, because they're motivated by God's Spirit, and Jesus Christ is living within them, and they're striving to grow. And many of you do this. And it goes on. Whoever desires to be first among you, in other words, in Old King James says chief among you, to be the first, let him be your slave. A different Greek word, doulos, which means a bond slave of that person or people or of others. So it's an even stronger word. You know, and the Apostle Paul and the other ministers of God, and many of them said, I am a servant. And the Greek doulos means I'm a bond slave of God. And what it means is God owns me. I belong to God. Don't we all remember the scripture in 1 Corinthians that says we are bought and paid for by God, by Christ's blood? So I hope we all have the same attitude that we are slaves of God, that we want God to own us, that we want to serve Him to the best of our ability. We want to give God our best service, and we want to be servants of other people. So there's the teaching of Jesus Christ, to be a servant. If you want to be great, learn how to become a servant of other people. And so each of us, we have to ask ourselves, what is my reputation in the church of God? Or what is my reputation in the eyes of God, in the mind of God? Does the church of God and do the people of God, whoever you consider the people of God, do the people of God consider you a servant? Or somebody who's never humbled themselves or bothered to take the time, because it does take time and energy, to serve others? We all have to examine ourselves. I do, and you do. And just because we've been in the church a long time and stuck with the truth, as we have done, doesn't mean we can sit back on our laurels, does it? I don't want to do that, and I don't think you do either. I want to keep moving forward and asking God to help me be more like Jesus Christ and His attitude. I want us all to do it together as a team effort and grow together and move forward together, become happier together, become happy, loving, people, you know, that you want to come to. I want you to enjoy coming to church here. I know some haven't, and it's, I don't know what to do about it sometimes. Because I know everybody has to find their own way, and everybody has to find their own home. We all have to do that. You know, I had to choose a home, a part of the Church of God and the body of God where I was going to seek some roots. And so I'm home. I'm right here. I'm a part of the Church of God, the body of Christ, and United recognizes that we are only a part of the church. That we're living in a time and an era when God has allowed the church to be scattered. But the important thing for us, brethren, and I thank God that you do come and you are here and you want to be a part of something. You know, how can you serve others if you're not a part of anything? You say, well, I serve myself, or I serve my wife or my husband, and that's great. Those are important things. But I guess my point is, we've got to keep moving forward in this area. And being a servant is a biblical term. It's right out of the Bible. And it just means helping, serving, giving, whatever term you want to use. But I like the term the Bible uses. Be a servant and become a slave of God and a servant of others. And it doesn't mean, I guess some maybe have missed me, well, if I'm a slave, maybe does that mean I have to let people mistreat me and stomp all over me and abuse me? No. Jesus Christ, that doesn't mean if you're being damaged in that way. Now, he, of course, did let them abuse him because he was giving his life to die for our sins in that way. But also, Christ was a strong leader, wasn't he? When he was with children, he was very gentle. When he dealt with women in the Bible, he honored them. He changed the culture and honored and spoke to women. But when he was with the disciples, sometimes training them, he had to correct them, like Peter. You know, Peter, get behind me, Satan. Peter got in the wrong attitude and the wrong spirit. He had to rebuke Peter, but get behind me, Satan. And then the Pharisees, when he had to deal tough, he was a humble servant. But a humble servant is not weak. A humble servant is a leader. It's what they are. And Christ was a humble servant to everyone. And sometimes what was needed from Jesus Christ was a little admonition and even correction, wasn't it? And from somebody who is truly a humble servant, they can give that in the right way. Because they are humble and they are a servant. They're not lashing out just because they're angry or mad at that person and they want to hurt them. They're trying to help them. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, in many ways, brethren, all the problems that we all have, each of us individually, or that the church has had, so many of them could be solved if every husband became a humble servant. If every wife became a truly humble servant, if every single person in the congregation, if every child, if every minister, if every elder deacon, if every leader, if everyone, if we could all truly learn these principles and the way we deal with one another, it would solve so many problems. Imagine what would happen in the Church of God at large. The Church of God, which is now separated into many different groups, large and small, and now if you have access and know how to do it, you can contact hundreds, I guess, because it only takes one person to get on the internet and have a little web page, and you got what people think is a new group. Anybody can do it today. If you've got at least hundreds of individuals, maybe dozens of groups of God's people, and they can't get along, and, oh, we don't agree with your government. Oh, well, we don't agree with you doctrinally on this point. And yet, they all say, yeah, but we keep the Sabbath and the holy days, and we believe Christ is coming back, and we believe in the kingdom of God, and we believe this and that. And yet, God's people, so many of them, I'm not saying all, do not truly have a spirit of reconciliation. They do not. For whatever reasons, and, you know, I don't have all the answers, I don't know. I'm just saying something is wrong, right? Because division is not God's way. Now, God allows it, yes. And God uses it, yes. But division is not God's way. And God is going to solve the problem of division eventually when he comes back. And if God's people do not humble themselves before Christ returns, all of his people, whoever they are, if we don't humble ourselves and become true humble servants with loving attitudes, forgiving attitudes, peacemakers, reaching out to other brethren and other groups, we may not agree with everything, but the attitude is the key thing. The attitude in the spirit is a very important thing. Notice the attitude of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. He said, "For though I am free from all men," in other words, he was not being manipulated or controlled by someone. He could serve God freely and with his whole heart, obey and serve God and be God's minister. He went on to say, "I have made myself a servant to all." He chose to do that I might win the more. Paul wanted to be a servant of God and a servant to all people. And he was willing to become and be whatever he needed to be to reach people, to relate to people. To the Jews, I became as a Jew. For those who were still keeping certain things legalistically and things that rituals or sacrifices or whatever it was, circumcision, Paul would become like them to relate to them and try to win them, as he said, to those who are under the law, those who are under the law. Old Testament sacrifices were still being performed by many at that time, that I might win those who are under the law. And to those who are without the law, without the knowledge and understanding of God's law, I'll become as one without the law. Paul had this wonderful attitude. Well, so here's a person not in the church, not converted, doesn't have God's spirit. Okay, how can I relate to that person? What can I talk about that might connect with that individual? Fishing or cars or whatever, it doesn't matter what it is. Paul would become as one who is without the law, but not being without law toward God, of course, and under the law toward Christ. So, in his spirit and heart, he was. But he said that I might win those who were without the law, without the knowledge of God and his truth. He was quite a man, wasn't he? Quite an example, Paul was. And I love verse 22 as well. He said, "And for the weak, I become as weak." Can we do that? Can we become whatever is necessary to help somebody who's weak that God may be calling and working with, no matter what their problem is? Sometimes we get upset because somebody comes to church with some problems. Well, we don't condone people living in sin. That's not God's way. But we do want to help them. We want to help them come out of sin and not live in sin. And sometimes you just have to be patient and pray about it and pray for them and encourage them and talk to them and help them, because they may be weak. They may be little babies spiritually, fragile. If they're wanting to come back to church and wanting to come back to God and wanting to connect, we need to help them in that journey. So, brethren, I tried to follow this principle, and I know sometimes people have thought that doesn't matter, if people come to church who have problems or they think maybe they're living in sin or doing something wrong. I hope you know me well enough to know what I stand for and what I believe. And if I'm going to err as a minister, if I'm going to err and make mistakes, and I know I will and I know I have, I'd rather err in dealing with people who are struggling and being patient with them and their weakness or whatever the problem may be that they're dealing with. I'd rather be that way. I'd rather be patient, merciful. Wouldn't you? Because I'd rather have God be that way with me. Now, you might think I haven't been that way with you, some of you. But I'm slow to anger and slow to correct. I really am. Maybe sometimes it's not soon enough for some people. But that's the way I am. My nature, my personality, the way God's Spirit works within me. If you want somebody who corrects more and rebukes more, you'll have to wait till another minister comes around, I guess. And maybe I will balance things out. But I can do it when I have to and when I need to. I hope you don't doubt that. That if you push me hard enough on something, I'll stand up to you and I will correct you. But I'll do it in love. Paul said, I have become all things to all men. That men doesn't mean just males, it means all people. That I might by all means save some. So, you know, Paul told the Corinthians, didn't he? Follow me as I follow Christ. So he was following Christ, is what he was doing. He's trying to be like Jesus Christ, and he told the Corinthians to follow him. Thank you, brethren, many of you. I mean, you could walk into that room back there when you do and see the effort and the work that has been put into this job fair. Job fair meaning to expose the whole congregation to the many jobs that are necessary to make this congregation function and work. And you'll see the service and the attitude of the people who put the, it's very beautiful and very creative fact in that room. I think you're going to enjoy it and have fun participating in that today. I'd like to, in the next part of the message, because I think you're here today because all of you do want to be, you are servants of God. I really believe that. I'm just kind of exhorting a little bit and encouraging you, because I can do it to myself. Okay, Dennis Luker, don't sit back on your laurels and think you're the best servant you can be. Don't ever think that or say that. There's always room for improvement and growth in our lives, all of us. So what are you doing? I just ask you, what are you doing in the church, in the work of God? Because I could say, my excuse could be, well, I've been at it now 41, 42 years and I'm tired. Or I'm now 64 years old and I'm old. No, I'm not old. I mean, look, some of our real senior citizens here. Talk to them in their 80s and 90s and 100s. We've got that in Seattle, don't we? 80s, 90s, and 100s. But I want to encourage you that together, with the help of God and the energy of God and the renewing power of God, the strength of God, God can renew our spirit. He can help us to gain back again, not to be burned out. And I know it's easy to get burned out. A lot of our ministers are struggling with that. We have, some of them have serious health problems. I acknowledge those things. They're real. They exist. But Paul had many afflictions as well. Remember, he cried out to God, God, heal me of this affliction that I have. And God said, no, Paul, I'm not going to heal you of that affliction. I'm going to leave it upon you to keep you humble and yielded and remind you that you need me. Rely on me for the strength that you need. So many of God's servants had afflictions, and they dealt, lived with those and continued to serve God to the best of their ability. Paul did. Timothy, remember what Paul wrote to Timothy about his stomach ailments and his many weaknesses, and take a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent or often infirmities. So Timothy was sick quite often, apparently. He was a fairly frail young minister and had a lot of sicknesses and illnesses, and Paul was giving him advice. Go with me now to 1 Corinthians 12. And let's just review together. I think it helps sometimes, and that's what you get in a message. We can review and look at God's Word together. You might say, be on the same page, literally and figuratively. Hopefully be on the same page as we read the Word of God and God's instructions to us. So let's review together what the Bible says about spiritual gifts. The gifts from God that are spiritual that help us to become better servants. Now verse 1, 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now we drop down to verse 4. Paul writes, there are diversities of gifts. There are different kinds of gifts. But there is the same Spirit of God, same Holy Spirit. So God has a great diversity of gifts and abilities that he gives to his people, as we'll see. There are differences of ministries, and that just means ways to serve. It's not talking about somebody has to be ordained to be a minister. It's talking about there are differences of ministries, services, areas to serve, ways to serve. But there is the same Lord. There are diversities of activities. Different kinds of activities. but it's the same God who works all in all. Many different functions and activities go on within the church. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And what the Word of God tells me is that if you have the Holy Spirit, and if you've been baptized, if you've repented, you've been baptized, had hands laid upon you, the prayer of faith, the gift of the Holy Spirit was given to you. If you knew what you were doing and you were ready, you did it in the right spirit, the right attitude, you have the Holy Spirit. And what the Bible says is the manifestation, the fruit of the gift of the Spirit are given to each one, each person that God calls for the profit of all, for the common good, the NIV says, for the benefit of the whole body. So every single one of you, in other words, sitting here, even your children, though they may not be converted yet, may not have God's Spirit in a begotten way put in yet, united with His Spirit, but God's Spirit is with them. Before you're converted, God's Spirit works with you, brings you to the point of repentance and baptism. That every single one of you here has gifts of God that you can use to benefit the body. Person one is given the word of wisdom. A lot of you know one another. You may say, yeah, I'll think of so-and-so in the congregation. They have a lot of wisdom. I would go for them for advice. They seem to have that gift of God of wisdom. Some people have better wisdom than others. It's a gift of God through the Spirit. And to another, the word of knowledge. Some people just have that gift of knowledge. They've got a memory for it, and they remember it, and they read it, and they study it, and they love it. And it's a gift. It's a blessing. It's good. The gift of knowledge. The word of knowledge. Through the same Spirit of God. And to another, faith of the same Spirit. No, we don't all have the same degree of faith, do we? But again, some, and I've met and talked to people, they just have a very strong faith in God. In different ways that we can have faith as well. And sometimes others maybe struggle with things and need a lot more support and encouragement and help. That doesn't mean they're not growing in other areas of their life. They may be very loving. He's getting us to think here. What has God given you through the Spirit that He's given to you? What of these things do you have? We're not talking now about the fruits of the Holy Spirit that we heard. Love, joy, peace, faith, patience, and those qualities. But these gifts from the Spirit. The gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Now that could mean physical healings. It could mean, and I would take it in my study of it, it means more than just the physical, because Christ came along and it said He healed many people of many things, not just physical ailments, but He cast out the demons and healed people mentally and psychologically and emotionally. How many of you feel that you've had mental, emotional, and psychological damage in your life? If you've ever been abused in any way or hurt deeply, that damages the Spirit. And some people have the ability, have the love. They just seem to have that love. They're non-judgmental, non-condemning. They have an ability to help people heal. And that's what we all need so desperately, isn't it? We need to help one another heal and to love one another. Maybe you have that gift. Don't feel bad if you don't have them all. Nobody does that I know of. But going on, it talks about the gift of healings by the same Spirit, and to another, the working of miracles. What kind of miracles? Could be healings. Maybe other kinds of miracles that we will see eventually as time goes on. But God Almighty in His Word says that some are going to be given the gift of the working of miracles. And another prophecy that different places means inspired preaching. Sometimes it's talking about understanding the future. You know, a gift in that way. To another, discerning of spirits. Some people God has gifted with the ability to just pick up on attitudes or things much more. Now, that hasn't been my gift. You know, I kind of assume everybody's sincere, but some people are gifted more. They just pick up on body language and attitude, and just because we all radiate an attitude and a spirit, and it comes out of us, and it's pretty hard to hide. And some people have a discerning of spirits and attitudes. And to another, different kinds of tongues. The Greek word glossa means languages. Different kinds of tongues or languages. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. I'm talking about my dear old grandmother who's dead and grew up in Pentecostal church. And I told you that enough, so I won't dwell on it. But when I was a little boy, I'll just tell you a little bit of it. When I was a little boy, it was so scary. I've never forgotten it, but she took me to church with her. It was a tent meeting, and she's sitting right next to me, and it was singing aloud. She loved to sing, and it got louder and louder and more emotional. And you know, I'm not saying we're probably even a little more emotional than our singing in church. You know, we're pretty laid back, and we don't have much enthusiasm in our singing. At least some don't. We got to work on that, you know, because we're here to glorify God. But anyway, my grandmother, all of a sudden, sitting right next to me, and I'm a little guy, a little tyke. And all of a sudden, she... I can't even remember the language. I don't know what it was. It wasn't any language. But it was this unknown tongue. I was like, she just started gibbering. Scared me to death. Next thing, she was down on the ground, and one of the ministers came running over trying to interpret what she was saying, so I'm not talking about that. I know some people, and I don't want to make fun. I probably did, but I don't want to make fun of my grandmother. She'll be resurrected someday, and I'll be there and to meet her. She was very sincere, and there's got to be a balance in all of that. But some people will have the gift of interpreting, whether it means with foreign languages. I do know people like that. I've mentioned that before. They're gifted in language and in words, and whatever it means, God is going to give that gift. But then notice verse 11. But the one and the same Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, works all these things that are mentioned. Every one of these gifts or abilities of God come from God through the power of the Holy Spirit, distributing to each one individually as he wills, as God through the Holy Spirit wills. So each of us needs to analyze, see in ourselves, God has probably revealed to most of you by now, where your strengths or abilities or gifts from God are, so that you can make your contribution to the body. You need to figure that out if you don't know, if you're not sure. We're going to read on and more, because we're one body. Verse 12 says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Christ is unified. He's going to have one body, one bride, one church. Not a bunch of bickering, split divisions. He's going to solve that problem. You know what it tells me? That God has a lot of humbling to do with his people. A lot of humbling yet to take place in our lives, in the church, and in the ministry, and among the brethren. Because it's going to take an attitude of humility and being like Christ for all these people to ever work together under Christ in his kingdom. But it goes on. By one Spirit, we were all baptized in one body. Whether Jew or the Greeks, whether slave or free, all have been made to drink into one Spirit. So if you meet somebody that you think is converted, wherever they are, whoever they are, they're part of the body of Jesus Christ, the Church of God, aren't they? I mean, if you meet somebody and you see in them this love of God, this love of the truth, this love of his word, this desire to obey God, to change and to grow, you've met a brother or sister in Christ if they have that spirit and that attitude. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, you know, usually feet are not real pretty. Now, maybe you've got pretty feet. Maybe you've got pretty toes. I don't know. But a lot of people, you know, feet aren't pretty. But if the foot should say, because I'm not the hand. I want to be a hand. Hands are beautiful. And I'm not of the body. Is it not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? That's because if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. So here's Paul is using this wonderful example for us of our physical bodies with all of the parts, externally and internally, and yet it's all one body. And wherever God has put you to be a part of the body, God knows you, he knows your personality, your temperament, your nature, your abilities, your gifts, and what he's giving you through the Holy Spirit. God knows where he wants you. He knows where you fit. And so within the church, isn't it a matter of letting God work it out where he wants us? Just always be patient, always be humble, just be ready to serve, and don't wait till I ask you. Please, don't. Well, when the minister recognizes me and tells me where he wants me to serve, I'll know it's from, no. I mean, if I do, I hope you'd be willing. If I came up and said, I'm volunteering you to, you know, help, but you could say no if you want to. But my main point is, if you're a true servant of God, if you want to serve, you'll be looking while you can serve. You'll be looking. If you're converted, if you have the Holy Spirit, if you're a servant of God, you're not going to be sitting around doing nothing. You're going to serve your wife, your children if you're married, your family. And if you're not, you're single, and you have the time, you're going to be looking for extended family, mom and dad, friends. You're going to be saying, where can I serve and be good? Like many of you have been doing for many years. This wonderful analogy goes on. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I don't need you either. You use your imagination, can't you? Imagine somebody, the head saying, hey, I'm the big shot up here, man. I'm the one with the intelligence up here, and the feet says, I'm not moving anywhere, buddy. You know, let's see what you can do now. You know, all got to work together. All right, feet, I love you. You're beautiful. Please go. You know, say, couldn't you tell it? Say the brain corrects all that, but the analogy is, they all do have to work together, and what they're discovering about the human body, and it's not all over yet, we'll probably discover a lot more, is that God has placed intelligence in many areas and parts of the body. And man used to think it's all in the brain, boy, it's all up here. No, they're finding now that a lot of it's in the heart, literal memory cells. I covered that, so I don't need to repeat that. And you also wonder about what is called the area of the gut and the bowels and the stomach, you know, because you know how nervous and how certain emotions and feelings hit you in the bowels. So the Bible even talks a little bit about that. But I think the more man learns about the body, the more complex he's going to find that it is and how interdependent all the different parts of the body are on each other. And that's what God is telling us here, right here in this chapter. Notice these verses. Verse 22. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker. Now, some of you could look around here and say, yeah, this person, that guy, that person, that girl, that woman, they're some of our weaker members of our congregation. They're a little strange, a little odd, a little different, you know, whatever. But I'm one of the normal, strong, good ones. But what God says, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. NIV says indispensable. Every part of the body is necessary for the whole and the health of the body. You know, a doctor used to yank out your appendix or yank out some of the things they'd yank out tonsils or, you know, we can't find any need for that, let's yank it out. It looks like it's in bad shape. They begin finding out there's a need and a purpose for every little part of the body. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, that which we treat with special honor or respect, the NIV says. And our unpresentable parts, that's obvious what he means there, parts of the body that we keep covered, have greater modesty or are treated with greater modesty, the NIV says. Those are important parts of our body as well. Every part of our body. And so every member of the church who is truly a person that has committed themselves to God, whoever you are, weak, strong, one of the outward ones that people see more, or one of the quiet ones behind the scenes, whatever, God says you are important and necessary and indispensable, and He's called you to do your part to function in the church. Verse 24 says that our presentable parts have no need. I like the NIV again, it says need no special treatment. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. That there should be no schism in the body. And we sure have had plenty of that, haven't we? That there should be no, God doesn't want schisms in the body, divisions, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And we know that example. Have you got a part of your body hurting right now? Maybe a back or a finger or a toe or a tooth or some part of your body hurting? Well, the whole body kind of suffers with it, doesn't it? I mean, your whole body. This is the way God wants us to be toward one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. You know, what a wonderful attitude that way, too, with the body and with the church. And sometimes we recognize someone or whatever that, you know, that we all rejoice in that and thank God. So I wanted to read that while we're together, brethren, because we're always going to be working on this together. Finding our place and doing our part in the body of Jesus Christ, the Church of God. Fulfilling our calling. Where does God want us? Where do we fit? And not, it's not wrong to want to be an effective leader and servant. That's good. That is good. Just be honest and humble and patient and faithful, and God will place you where He wants you. Skip a few scriptures so that we have lots of time for this job fair today. It's going to be really profitable and enjoyable. I think you'll enjoy it today, and it'll fit in perfectly with the singing today and the messages. Let's go to Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. This is so beautiful. I just would like to have us read this together once again. Verses 3 through 7. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith, for we have many members in the body, but all the members do not have the same function, and being many, and we being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Now, we're part of one another whether you like it or not, right? They say you may not get along with everybody in here, but you're still part of each other. Whether you like it or not, you're part of the body. If you feel you're converted with God's Spirit, you're part of the body. Having then gifts differing according to the grace given to us, God has given us different personalities, temperament gifts, physical stature, build, energy, all of those are gifts. Your physical health is a gift or a blessing. The way you are is all from God. What did any of us do to end up the way we are, how we are? I didn't do anything. I was just born the way that I am. And my part is to cooperate with God and become what He wants me to be, like you want to do. I know you've read this before, but notice what it says. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Let us use those gifts, those abilities, prophesying, speaking, preaching, whatever. Let's do it. Verse 7, or ministry, and it means serving. If you're a real server, some people love to serve others and quietly. And I encourage you to pick up back there in the other room this little pamphlet. Dan Reisler pointed it out to me, and I'm glad he did. It's about discover your spiritual gifts, and it reviews spiritual gifts mentioned in Romans 12, what they are, and gives you a little recommendation here on how you can read and study and learn more what your spiritual gifts are. But a lot of things you'll want to pick up, but that little pamphlet's very helpful in this regard about understanding and discovering where do you fit in the church, in the body of Christ. Why did God call you? And when he gave you his Holy Spirit, how has he gifted you to do your part in the body? And when we find our part in the body, when we find where we fit and why God has called us and discover the talents that God has given us, and then we're doing what, and you can do anything. Don't limit yourself and say, well, you mean you can only do what I'm good at, like somebody said? No, you can do what you're bad at if you want. We're not going to limit you. But, you know, you would be best at doing what you're good at. Wouldn't you agree to that? What if I tried to do special music, for instance, or play the piano like Dave Roscoe, you know, or something like that? Ooh, boy, that'd be the last time you'd want to hear from me. You'd say, oh, Mr. Luke, just go back and speak, okay, please? Don't try to sing special music and play the piano, or over here, these guys, or whatever job some of you do. Give me the switchboard and watch it light up. Punch the wrong buttons and make a mess. So, you can try anything you want to try in the church, anything. But you know, it's a lot more fun when you finally find your niche and something that you're good at and you love doing in the church. It's a lot more fun. And so the 1 Corinthians 12 goes through other ways that you can serve in the church. You don't have to have a position. Nobody has to appoint you. You can volunteer. But it shows the way that people can serve. You can read those things here, and it's given and listed in this little pamphlet. So I want to close with one verse, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. One more verse, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. I love this verse. I love so many of them. I hope you do too. Talking in the previous verse about Christ, who is the head of the church. In verse 16, let's read Ephesians 4:16 together. From whom, that is from Christ, the head, the whole body, that means the whole church, joined and knit together. Notice, we are joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share. That's every member, every person. Every part of the body does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love, so that we can be a happy group of people trying to be harmonious, trying to help one another, trying to say, well, I know that person. God has called them. They come to church. They make the effort. There's got to be a reason. God has called them. I wonder what your God-given gifts, talents, skills, and abilities are. Now, some of you may be called to be positive encouragers in the church. And, you know, you're just one that comes to church, and I'm going to come to church and I'm going to encourage people. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit. Barnabas was an encourager. He had the personality and the gifts and the abilities. He just loved to be positive and loved to encourage people. No, you're not all that way, are you? But some are, you know. So whatever your gift, use it. That's what God wants us to do. So I want to close by thanking you brethren, you faithful brethren, who've been serving so many years. Thank you for your faithful service to God. I encourage you not to stop. I told you that I'm no longer thinking of retirement. I was for a while. I really was. I'm getting tired. I'm 54. I deserve to retire. Let somebody else do the work in the church. I may not be pastor forever. I know that. That's going to change someday. But I'm going to keep on serving. I'm never going to retire from serving in whatever capacity because it's a lifetime calling. And I hope you will join me in this and work with me and let's work together. I want to encourage each of you. And I want you to grow and serve God and glorify God. And develop your God-given abilities, and I want you to be able to do it in the church. If you want to serve in the church, there are opportunities, and you're going to see a lot of them today. So I hope you enjoy the job fair after. There's food, and there will be people in each of the areas who are involved in those areas of service. So I hope you really enjoy it today.